Balabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Gopijana Balabha Girivara Dhari Jasodanandana Braja Janarandana Jasodanandana Braja Janarandana Jamunatiravanachari Jamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivijagacharya Asta Terasata Si Srimad His Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samvita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gopimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text 63. Yata no miyate chitam Ubhayar indriye hitai Evam pragdehajam karma Lakshate chitta vrittibihi Yata no miyate chitam Ubhayar indriye hitai Evam pragdehajam karma Lakshate chitta vritti bihi Yathanumiyate chittam Evam pragdehajam karma Ladies. Yathanumiyate chittam Ubhayair indriye hitai. Evam pragdihajam karma. Lakshate chitta vrittabihi. Yata numiyate chittam. Nehitai. Evam pragdehajam karma. Lakshate chitta vrittabihi. Nitanamiyate chittam. Upayair indriye hitai. Evam pragdehajam karma. Lakshate chitta yata. As. Anumiyate. Can be imagined. Chittam. One's consciousness or mental condition. Ubhayai, both. Indriya, of the senses. Ihitai, by the activities. Evam, similarly. Prak, previous. Dehajam, performed by the body. Karma, activities. Lakshate, can be perceived. Chitta, of consciousness. Vrittibhi, by the occupations. Translation, one can understand the mental or conscious position of a living entity by the activities of two kinds of senses, knowledge acquiring senses and executive senses. Similarly, by the mental condition or consciousness of a person, one can understand his position in the previous life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is an English proverb that says, the face is the index of the mind. If one is angry, his anger is immediately expressed in his face. Similarly, other mental states are reflected by the actions of the gross body. In other words, the activities of the gross body are reactions of the mental condition. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing. The willing portion of the mind is manifest by the activities of the body. The conclusion is that by the activities of the body and senses, we can understand the condition of the mind. The condition of the mind is affected by past activities in the past body. When the mind is joined with a particular sense, it immediately becomes manifest in a certain way. For instance, when there is anger in the mind, the tongue vibrates so many maledictions. Similarly, when the mind's anger is expressed through the hand, there is fighting. When it is expressed through the leg, there is kicking. There are so many ways in which the subtle activities of the mind are expressed through the various senses. The mind of a person in Krishna consciousness also acts in a similar way. The tongue chants Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra. The hands are raised in ecstasy, and the legs dance in Krishna consciousness. These symptoms are technically called Ashta Sattvika Vikar. Sattvika vikar is transformation in goodness, or sometimes transcendental ecstasy. End of purport. Yata numiyate chitam ubhayair indriye hitai evam prag dehajam karma lakshate chitta vrittibhi. Translation, one can understand the mental or conscious position of a living entity by the activities of two kinds of senses, knowledge acquiring senses and executive senses. Similarly, by the mental condition or consciousness of a person, one can understand his position in the previous life. This is a lot different than storytelling. He captured the attention and a little bit the intelligence of King Prajinibari, enough so that now he's inquiring about transcendental knowledge. Remember the going back a few verses when the king says, I get it. Fruit of activities, boo. Devotional service, yay, I get it. But I have a doubt. How does it work? Specifically, his question was, from the activities of this body, some previous body, some activity, reaction to the activity, karma and reaction to that. Because karma is both, action, reaction. So the reaction part is carried over to the next body, but how is it the next body is responsible for the activities of a previous body that's now gone? How does it work? And Narada is now giving this it's kind of a Sankhya answer, like what's the push-pull, how does it work? So ultimately the push-pull is supervised by Super Soul. So given, without so much drilling on this, it's the Super Soul, he goes to the relationship between the gross body, subtle body, supervised by the Super Soul. So although the previous body is gone, the subtle body that was within the previous body is still with us. So now there's another gross body, and so there's no change other than the external manifestation, but the subtle body is still there, and the soul is actually within the subtle body, and the subtle body is within the gross body. Although we say the soul is within the body, more accurate, critically accurate, is the soul is within the subtle body, which is within the gross body. And then he described that the gross body is generated by, of course, material nature, but according to the configuration of the subtle body, the particular mind, intelligence, and false ego makeup of the living entity determines the gross body, and then in turn it determines which objects will come and also how we'll perceive those objects, whether it's happiness or distress or whatever emotion we feel. If you can recall, I'm sure you can recall, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, those before the 8 through 12, the items of knowledge, there's a description of what is the field of activities. Because that's Sankhya. Field of activities, the knower of the field of activities. Matter, the spirit, what's the difference? So in the verses that are describing the field of activities or matter, There's our usual list, 24, because previously in chapter 7 it was 8, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But then it's expanded from 8 to 24. It's the same, just another way of looking at the same thing. And then there's this word, vikarangs. Vikarangs means transformation. And that is, you know, the 24 mix. And when the 24 mix, so you get things like emotions, material emotions. Material emotions are nothing but a mix. You mix it this way, you get this emotion. You mix it that way, you get that emotion. And don't place so much value on your emotions. Although people certainly place a lot of value on their emotions. I like, I don't like. I'm attracted, I'm repulsed. I'm happy, I'm unhappy. It's just following the mind, which is a mix of the mind with some of the other elements, which is what's being said in this purport. So the state of mind, say it's anger. Now, we know what anger is from Bhagavad Gita. There's many ways to describe it, but one is in Bhagavad Gita. When the living entity comes in touch with the mode of passion, we have desire. And sure enough, after desire comes anger, because desire is frustrated. So there's anger. One way Prabhupada describes this is that anger is the younger brother of passion or desire. They come from the same mother. That's why they're brothers. And one comes first, and then the other one comes second, younger brother. And the first is, the mother is, the soul contacting passion that says, I want to enjoy, and then comes in a particular way, and then comes anger. Boom, boom, boom. And it, boom, it's every time. It's very systematic. Boom, boom, boom. And then comes anger. And then there's different ways in which anger, so that's, the mind is then connected to the, what the verse is saying, the indriyas, and there's two kinds of indriyas, it says. Ubhayai means both. Indriyas, so knowledge acquiring and working senses, or executive senses, sounds really, wow, executive senses. The senses that are connected to the mind, because there's, the mind is the chief. So there's 11 senses, 5 and 5 and the chief. Okay, team, let's go to work. You do this and you guys do that and I'm chief. But it's actually, you know, they dictate according to, so if the anger that's in the mind, because there was the mode of passion contact, that sometimes, it keeps us in the material world, mode of passion contact, then the indriyas, so the example given here, it's right in Nectar Devotion too, by the way, right? There are symptoms of ecstasy. So, we'll do the material side first. When the fist is clenched, that's a certain type of anger. And when the leg is kicking, it's another type of anger. And when strong words are spoken, it's another type of anger. Depends on which sense is connected to the mind, which is in the state of anger, because it's the soul has contacted the mode of passion. It's dominoes. It's Sankhya. Hip, thigh bones connect to the hip bone, the hip bone. It's, you know, it's just one thing's connected to the other thing. And then we get material life. we just, like donkeys, we just keep doing it and keep doing it. And don't ask the question, what's going on? We just keep doing it. Do it a little different, but keep doing it. Same principle, I want to enjoy principle, mode of passion principle. Needs to. Anger. And then other different emotions. Different emotions. And there's a whole science to it. So what Narada is saying is, he's continuing to answer the question of the king, how does the activity of this body carry over to the activities of this body? And at the answer, the carryover is the mind, of course, supervised by Supersoul. But so the mental state, it's the real suffering, illusory, suffering and illusory happiness, is a state of mind. One can look at something and say, oh, this is very nice. And the same person another time can look at the same something and, oh, this is not nice. And another person, you know, the other way around. It's just the state of mind. It's not the thing. It's the mind. And the nature of fruitive activities, that's, you know, keep the gas pedal down, that is, continue in the mode of passion. Try to enjoy fruitive activities. Get the object so you can enjoy. Mode of passion. As long as that drive, even religious fruitive activities, dharma, for elevation to a higher standard of, you know what, enjoying senses and the sense objects and refined, long duration, big time enjoyment. As long as that's the I want to enjoy spirit is behind it, it's illusory. It's now you see it, now you don't. And it binds the living entity to the cycle of birth and death, and it covers the real knowledge of the soul. That's what's really important. Cover the real knowledge of the soul. So you can't be happy. You have to be in the illusory program. The duality program. This way, then this way. Boop, 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 boop. Just keep going. So, he's giving two answers to that question in this verse by saying that, well, the bottom line is we can understand from the mind, we can understand the condition in the previous life. We can understand the karma in the previous life because the face, the body, is the index of the mind. So the mind is in a certain state. We can understand the mind's activities of the previous life. Not necessarily in detail, although there are people that have that capacity. They have the capacity given the gift by Krishna. But that's how it's subtle. This expression indicates this mental state, and this mental state indicates a previous mental state and connecting to some former activity. So we're just doing a rerun over and over and over and over and over. A rerun and call it life. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, where the soul is situated in the body, gross and subtle, and the body is like a machine, and we're just being carried by the machine. This is transcendental knowledge. You know, the soul is different. Chapter 12. Excuse me, chapter 13. Chapter 13. So that's Sankhya, distinguishing matter from spirit. Then Prabhupada takes it to a third position. So, first is in the verse is the senses and how the senses are behaving tell you something about the mind. Yes? And then the second is, similarly, the state of mind can tell you something about the previous karma. So you see the activities and tells you something in the mind, something in the mind tells you about the previous activities of a body that's no longer around, gone. But that's true not just one lifetime to the next lifetime, it's true within the same lifetime. You know this, dehi nosmin yata dehi. The little, you know, let's say like trauma. When they were small, they were in a fire. And now that baby body is gone, little child body is gone. But now, when they see fire, they feel the same fear that they felt when they were in a fire. And it just seizes them and takes over, and their involuntary parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, and the adrenal system goes, and they're out of there. Panic, and all those things that happen. Because it's stored in the subtle body that experienced something when in a gross body of a different stage of body or the previous life, or it's because it's all happening on the subtle body, etc. So the packaging is very, very good. The soul just staying in a captured position without shackles, without iron chains, and like that. So sometimes gross bodies have to be put into prisons because it's not enough just that the conditioning of the material energy keeps them captured. Just to have them restrained from hurting other people. But it's not that they learned their lesson. Anyway. Because those impressions are stored. The subtle body is still there. And the tendency to do the same thing again and same thing again and same thing again. Coming from the subtle body to the gross body. And the subtle body from the previous activities of the previous body. So it's a prison house. The material world's a prison house. Very efficient. You can't get out. Unless one takes the mind and senses and intelligence and connects them to that which will purify them. That's what the advocacy of Narada is for the king. Don't just do pious fruitive activities. Don't do fruitive activities of any kind. Abrahma bhuvanal loka. Purnar arvartan orjana. Not aspire from something higher or try to avoid something lower. They're all unwanted. Just take the position of devotional service. In that position of devotional service, even in the gross body, subtle body, covering the soul condition, they can become purified by bringing the consciousness, the soul, because consciousness is concomitant factor of the soul, bringing consciousness to the Supreme Pure. Bringing the soul in contact with the Supreme Pure, the soul becomes pure, the subtle body and the gross body become purified. And then they act because the consciousness, then in turn the mind, connected to the senses, exhibit spiritual emotion. Prabhupada would say that the dancing and the chanting You should do even if you don't feel ecstasy, because then the ecstasy will come. Just a little anecdotal thing. The first temple that I joined was in Boston. And I didn't come in contact with Krishna consciousness originally in Boston. It was at the university that I attended. But the university that I attended, the program was organized by Rupanuga Prabhu. And he's a certain kind of personality that I appreciated that he was very devoted to Prabhupada, but I didn't feel comfortable around Rupanuga Prabhu, and his son was a brat and his wife was impossible. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So when I visited the Boston Temple one time, because I was looking at enrolling in graduate school in Boston, it was a very wonderful experience. This is anecdotal. But Brahmananda was visiting after having spent some time with Srila Prabhupada for a stretch of time. He had traveled with Prabhupada, including going to Dainapan in Japan, and so there was this kirtan, because Brahmananda was, a big devotee in more than one ways. He was, a very important person in our Hare Krishna movement. And his coming to Boston there was a big, big kirtan. So I was this little college student sitting over in the corner against the wall, like watching everybody dance like peacocks, bouncing. And I remember very clearly, so many years ago, but Satsarup Maharaj, then Grahastha, came over and extended his hand. And I went, no. Like, come join the kirtan. I went, no. And he didn't go away. He didn't force me, but, he reached. And how could you refuse such a gentle? So I reached back, and he slowly... And the next thing I knew, I was in the kirtan and dancing. And it was, wasn't just as an observer watching television or something. It was joyful. And the whole room was just joyful. And the kirtan went on and on and on and on. And then finally the kirtan was over. And then another very amazing thing happened. They had a lectern, like a little... thing, little place to sit down, and there was Brahmananda, who was like five times as big as this little lectern, and he leaned over with his arms on the lectern and just beamed radiantly, describing his experiences with Prabhupada. And everyone was just floating. It was really, really wonderful. The whole description of how Prabhupada negotiated the contract with Dainapan, it was really... I don't exactly remember the details, but Prabhupada was, they were tough, and he was tougher. And they agreed to his terms. And it was, big, big celebration to print Krishna book with Dainapan. And so many books were ordered, and then we had to distribute them. And it was, anyway, it was very nice. So by the whole of that anecdotal thing was by participating in the activities of Krishna consciousness, we become purified, and as Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, sattvika vikar is transformation of the mental condition in goodness, and sometimes transcendental ecstasy. So it's the same word, vikar, as found in chapter 13. Vikar means transformation. So this mixing with that material elements makes for emotions. This emotion, that emotion. It's just a mixing and transformation of the material elements making material emotions, which are very dear to people. It's like that's cherished. And then for spiritual personalities, it's the transformation, sattvika vikar, transformation to the quality of goodness by, as he's mentioning, what you do with the tongue, chant Hare Krishna, what you do with the hands, dance, or raise your arms, and with the legs, you dance. Or savaimana Krishna padara vindayo. The first element is the mind. And then in that verse describing King Ambarish's activity, there was what he did with his legs, it's what he did with his hands, what he did with his ears, what he did with his eyes. But the first was the orientation towards the mind goes to Krishna. And you practice the mind goes to Krishna, the mind goes to Krishna, and it's practice, abhyasa, keep practicing. The mind goes to Krishna because it's perfectly natural. It's the natural state of the soul. And the other is the contaminated state of the soul. So you practice that one, the mind becomes purified. The desires, so as he's mentioning, thinking, feeling, willing. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, willing. And we know this from Bhagavad Gita. By contemplating the objects of the senses, what's doing the contemplating? The mind. There's the senses, there's the sense objects. By contemplating, now the assumption in that sequence is in the mode of passion. I want to enjoy. That's the soul contacting the mode of passion and then using the instrument of the mind to contemplate the objects. And then it affects the state of mind, attachment. Feeling, thinking, feeling. I got to get one of those. Willing. And then actions. The mind state precedes the gross physical behaviors. So from the gross physical behaviors, you can tell something about the state of mind, which is what this verse is saying. And from the state of mind, you can tell something about the bodily activities of a previous life, what was done to bring the karma, the reaction, for that particular configuration of desire that carries over to this life and now these behaviors. So that's the material side. And then the spiritual side, by good association, it's essential that one gets association, good association, sadhu sangha. When somebody disconnects from sadhu sangha, it can be, you know, abrupt, or it can be gradual, or, you know, so many varieties. But when that happens, greatest misfortune. Or the other way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't mind whatever body I get. If I can be an insect in the home of a devotee, or a worm, a dog, just be in the association of devotees, because it's so valuable. And if we can hold that as valuable, and then when we're in the association of devotees, don't become familiar and start making the mistakes that what happens when there's familiarity. But in the association of devotees, it's the spiritual energy is accessed, and the soul can become then lifted, just like that little description of entering into the kirtan. When I didn't, they didn't have such kirtans in the college where I went. It was, you know, it was very formal. Anyway, but this was very joyful. Another anecdote, and I'll end. I mentioned this before, but it's still an impression. During the Rath Yatra festival down by the lake, the festival part, I was sitting in a little space, in a little tent where people could come and ask questions, and there was nobody around at a particular time, so this middle-aged lady came, and, you know, she was the I-gotta-talk kind of lady. Talk. And so she wanted to talk. So she started talking. And she wasn't inquiring. She was just talking. Oh, this is, you know, very nice spiritual activity. I'm also a very spiritual person. I read many spiritual books. The latest one that I'm reading is this one. Have you ever heard this person? And on and on and on and on. So I just gestured to the stage area and said, what's the goal of spiritual? What's the goal? And, you know, to be spiritual. I said, okay, when one is in that spiritual condition, what is it? What is it? What's the essence? It's love of God, right? Everyone in any religion will say love of God, even though they have a different idea of what God is, and even if it's impersonal, they'll still say yes. Love of God. Have you ever seen anything like that before? And, you know, in your readings and your experiments, you know, just look. It's very joyful. The soul that's in a condition of love of God and connected with God, it's naturally very joyful. Very naturally so. And see, little children, old people, and everybody in between. This religion, that race, that culture, that language. Look at, doesn't that tell you something? Practically speaking, aside from the books that you're reading about somebody or other. You know, come to the temple and join the kirtan. Very, very practical. She didn't know what to say. You know, she's just kind of like, I didn't say I'm not really interested in your book, honey. But she got the message. I think she got the message. Talk and talk. So, but that's just, it's a mode of good, to some degree, a mode of good, misguided mode of goodness aspiration to know something spiritual, to know what's beyond the grosser forms of material energy. So it's for those, Sankhya is very nice for those who have that disposition, analytical disposition, and they like to understand what's the cause and effect of things. It's kind of like spiritual technology. To a degree, that's what Narada is doing with the king, because of his disposition and his capacity to understand the difference between matter and spirit and really what's in the interest of spirit. So we should also hear from Narada speaking to King Prajñābhari. We're like part of the audience, practically speaking, because of Shukadeva Goswami's narrating this. Actually, it's Maitreya narrating to Vidura, but Shukadeva Goswami is narrating that one. How to transform material activity to spiritual activity. To an outsider, they look the same. I mean, we dress differently, but the behavior, you're you know, dancing and singing, and, you know, well, yeah, I like to sing too. But there's a qualitative difference between this, you know, where the subject matter is apart from Krishna, enjoying apart from Krishna, and the subject matter is happiness in relation to Krishna, happiness in Krishna's happiness. That's our life in Krishna consciousness. That's where King Prajñābhari is being invited by Narada, by Krishna. So I'll end there. Hey, why don't you go ahead?
I was thinking about the third canto pastime with Devahuti and Kardama Muni, and over there it's described how just because Devahuti had this loving service attitude towards her husband, she received and attained all perfection. So I was wondering, how is it that when we engage the gross body in the service...
How is it that when we do what?
How is it that when we engage the gross body
in
the service of an advanced devotee, what is that doing to our subtle conceptions and our subtle body over a period of time? And also, I have a second part to this.
Well, let's do that one first. It's contact with the internal potency, basically. And that is that Krishna is pleased. We may not understand, you know, the technology, the dynamics of what's taking place. That's okay. Krishna is pleased. The simple understanding that we can carry is Krishna is pleased. Now, we may not even go there. We just think, I like it. I feel, you know, I feel happy. And I like to feel happy, so I do things that make me feel happy, and this makes me feel happy. But it's because Krishna is pleased. Vaishnava Seva is pleasing to Krishna. There's potency in the internal potency. So it's cleansing on the soul level and all the rest following. That's what's going on. Spirit, that's the spiritual technology. Krishna is being pleased. What it means is Tadami Buddhiyogam Tam. That's what it means. Krishna gives the knowledge of how to come to him, that kind of knowledge. That kind of knowledge. Not the knowledge of how many grains of sand are there in the Sahara Desert. Or, as Prabhupada was asked, how many windows there are in the Empire State Building. You know, so it's not trivia, but the real knowledge, knowledge of how to go to Krishna. Krishna gives that knowledge. He gives the intelligence. He guides your steps to reach him. And along with that, whatever it is that you need to know, the connection of things with Krishna and the protection from seeing things apart from Krishna, separate from Krishna, protection from Maya. Knowledge leads to detachment. That kind of knowledge. You become the knower of everything that you need to know to reach Krishna. And that's in Krishna's hand. Whatever you need to know is in Krishna's hand. So he gives you whatever you need to know. And for service to him. It doesn't mean you become omniscient. You become the knower of everything. You don't become Supersoul. You become an intimate servant of Krishna. Supersoul is the knower of everything. But you become the knower of what Supersoul gives to you. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. We don't have the capacity to know everything that Supersoul knows. We're tiny. But what we need to know, he gives us that knowledge. That much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There's a quotation in the Bhagavatam that says, the liberated condition in which one's outward form is one's deepest spiritual nature. That's called the
Swaroop. Could you read it again?
Sure.
Slowly.
The liberated condition in which one's outward form is one's deepest spiritual nature is called Svarup.
One more time. It's a nice...
The liberated condition in which one's outward form is one's deepest spiritual nature is called Svarup.
Okay. So what do you want to do with that one?
Well, I mean, it's a lot deeper than I've ever heard it explained. I mean, it's to me, it's like in this middle area, kind of.
It's like a middle area?
Yeah, because I think about...
What's a middle area?
Well, spiritual sky, I think, okay, you have your svarup. That makes sense to me. If you're chanting japa, you might understand what your svarup is. But what does it mean in the context of someone being liberated, say, in this body? And that's what I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I'm not understanding what you're not understanding. So, one, it's not saying that supposing Bhakti Richard becomes a perfected soul one fine day, and the body that Bhakti Richard exhibits that fine day is his spiritual form, and that's what's going back to Godhead. That's not what it's saying. Does that help? The body, rather, the language that Prabhupada uses is become spiritualized. So there are two metaphors, a golden box and a golden plated box. It acts like gold, although it's not solid gold. It acts like gold, golden plated. Then another is electric wire that has electricity running through. The wire does not inherently have electricity, but it's a conductor and it conducts, and it becomes, it can electrify. Or the third one is the iron rod in the fire. It acts like fire, although it's iron. In contact with fire, it acts like fire. So take those three examples, ponder on them, and you'll have an understanding to your question. It's not that this body becomes the spiritual. Let's say Rupa Goswami. Because we discussed it yesterday. Rupa Manjari. Now, what's his spiritual form? Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari? It's Rupa Manjari. But the body of Rupa Goswami was acted fully spiritually because of his spiritual potency and the spiritual empowerment that he received. So he could do anything. Yes. Yes. Or the pure devotee that goes to Vrindavan can see Krishna performing his pastimes. One of those examples is when you go to Vrindavan. Have you been to Vrindavan yet? Okay. Look out when Bhakti Richard makes it to Vrindavan. Hope you don't get sick. You won't see too much beside the ceiling. But one of the places that you can visit is Radhakund. One of the places in Radhakund is the Janava Baitak, the place where she sat and chanted japa. And she described when she came back that there's a bridge across Radhakund. And she saw Radha and Krishna performing pastimes on the bridge across Radhakund. When you go there, you will not see a bridge. And you will not see Radha and Krishna performing pastimes on that bridge. But there's a bridge. Etc. Malyahari Kund. You go to Vrindavan and see Malyahari Kund, and it just looks like, you know, some puddle. It's not at all attractive. But it's a place where Radha and Krishna performed the wonderful pastime. How did Raghunath Das Goswami know that? Because he had the capacity to see beyond the covering. Okay? Be patient. Become purified. All these things become very clear. Don't get on the chariot of the mind and go for a ride and see if you can get there. You won't get there. I'll tell you ahead of time, you won't get there. Yes?
I think that was a philosophers have also given expression to the idea that everything is just a state of mind. And so they generate doubts in newer devotees that our experience of Krishna consciousness is also just another state of the mind. And, you know, we're getting some experience because our state of mind is in relationship to this thing. Or you can make it in relationship to something else and get that same experience, because it's just a state of mind. So how do we address that type of doubt?
I listened to Prabhupada answer that question last night on a recording. And here's Prabhupada's answer. He said, yes, we must accept our position as being conditioned. And then one devotee said, and our position is, this is a better conditioning than that one. And Prabhupada said, no, no. One must be able to discriminate what is the best. But it's a description of the constitutional position of the soul as we're conditioned. Internal energy, external energy, yes. And we choose the internal energy. It's our constitutional position. So it's not saying, it's not, you know, another way it would be to say it's not conditioning, it's our natural, it's the healthy state rather than the diseased state. But even in the healthy state, we're under the influence, or we're under the influence, and then that influence of the internal potency is far more desirable. It's our natural state. That's one answer. Something else?
Yes, Maharaj, that kind of connects to the second half of the question. Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada has also shared this honeybee licking the honey bottle, the outside of the honey bottle, and things relishing honey.
Yeah.
So then for newer devotees also, we sometimes think that we're tasting the honey when we're still just licking the outside of the bottle, and may sometimes become deviated by a false experience.
Yes.
And thinking that I'm experiencing something.
Happens all the time.
Yes.
I can think of a few persons in particular. Go ahead.
So then how does a newer devotee authenticate his experience in Krishna consciousness? Because one thing I was getting to, it's a concern that I've often had hearing messages about the mind like this, is that our emotions we should not take very seriously in the conditioned state.
Yes.
So when we start practicing Krishna conscious, there's a tendency to just like, okay, I've got to be sober and stoic and let go of the emotions, but at the same time, emotions are required in our execution of devotional service. But then when we try to do that, we may delude ourselves into thinking I'm experiencing something very high, when it's just licking the outside of the honey bottle. So how to work with our emotions in Krishna consciousness?
Well, two things. Keep it simple. That's the first thing. And then, so I can expand on that, but the second thing is follow what Scripture says. So what Scripture, what's written in Nectar Devotion is those are shadow experiences of the real thing. Krishna's kindness is that he gives you the shadow experience. Oh, and if the shadow experience is that, then what to speak of the real thing? That's how we should process it. It's just an indication of the real thing. It's a reflection of the real thing. What the real thing is, I'm reminded of the morning walk in Nairobi where one devotee is asking, what is chanting with taste? How do we know when we're chanting with taste? And Prabhupada's reply made the devotee think he didn't understand the question. He said, there's no question. You must. Anyway, there's regulative, and there may be some feelings and experiences with the regulative, but that's not the real thing. That's not Shuddhanam. Shuddhanam is Rupa Goswami's position. I wish I had millions of years in
millions of tongues. And you can't stop. So that's the real thing. So until that very, 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 very elevated position comes, it's a reflection of the real thing. So that's the second part, guided by Scripture. And then the first one is just keep it simple. What's the goal is not to have some emotional experience. The goal is to be in the position of servant. You know, when you're in the position of Daruka, who's fanning Krishna and he's feeling ecstasy and it's disturbing his fanning of Krishna, he's checking the ecstasy so he can go on fanning Krishna. That's the real thing. Not enamored by the reflection of the real thing. Something else? Krunaniti.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please explain me, I am not able to understand. Prabhupada mentioned in the translation, one can understand the one's past life by his mental condition or mental consciousness.
That's what it says, yeah. I explained, that was the class. You missed part of the class.
Sorry.
Go listen to the recording. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So, on this point of the example you just gave of the
point of what?
The example you just gave of the devotee who was fanning Krishna and had to check his ecstasy in order to continue performing the service.
Yes.
So I've heard, and forgive me, I do not remember where, but that at a certain point...
That's always dangerous. But keep going.
Yes, Maharaj. That we, at a certain point of advancement, we should be thinking or performing service according to our various tastes, whatever service is most attractive, or whatever service where, you know, you could maybe say we're getting a certain amount of...
You got competition outside, so...
Yeah, sorry. What does taste mean then? Because if it's not necessarily this ecstasy we're getting from service...
Correct.
Then what does taste mean?
Well, you know, it means different things at different stages. Taste and the conditioned stage may mean according to my psychophysical nature. I'm attracted to... That's one kind of taste. Then there's, you know, much higher than that, a spontaneous spiritual attraction for Krishna and a certain aspect of Krishna, a certain aspect of Krishna's service. Spontaneous. And that means it's sustained. Just that's taste. And then in the matured stage, it's love of God. Ask Mother Jasoda if she wants to be Radharani for a day or something like that. You know, there's... She's fixed. Or ask Madhu Mangal, does he want to be Radharani for a day? Because she's the, you know, she's topmost. He's fixed. There's no question of it. So that's... Don't worry. This is the keep it simple. Don't worry about what these higher states are like and what's going to happen when I get there. Too much of that kind of contemplation. Isn't that helpful? Just, you know, be a humble servant. Serve the devotees so that Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, then the mysteries of the spiritual world open. Like this, you know, one becomes the knower of everything. Everything that we need to know will become revealed. So the things that are there in Scripture, certainly we can contemplate them, but be a strict follower. Pay attention to that one as instead of what's this like, what's that. Just be a strict follower of Rupa Goswami. That's it's not only safe and secure, it will get you to the understanding of the mystery. Because even if in the present stage the mystery was, it's like this, we'll be like King Prajñabhari. I don't get it. We will be like King Prajñabhari that will honestly say, I don't get it. And then say it again, and I don't get it, and say it again. Because one needs the adhikar, one needs the qualification. The qualification is the humble servant that simply wants to please those who are dear to Krishna. Like Himanshu's question. What is it about that magic? It's Krishna's pleased. Just keep it simple. Just try to please Krishna in those basic ways that Rupa Goswami gives for us in the sadhana bhakti stage, rather than and, you know, wondering what that's like. Last question. Oops, second to last question.
How important is it, this seems like an obvious question, but how important is it that we know we're serving the devotees because it's pleasing to Krishna?
How important is that we know? It's depends on your the stage of your progress in Krishna consciousness. If you don't know, it's still pleasing to Krishna. But if you're investing consciousness specifically in doing this or that or the other thing because it's pleasing to Krishna, it's more pleasing. Those who act in knowledge of the different types of people, it's most pleasing to Krishna because the goal is very clear. Krishna, 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 not me, Krishna. In submission, then that's very, so it's important. So how important it is depends on your position of gradual spiritual progress. Gokulananda, last question. No more last questions after that one. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I
Yeah. I do it all the time. I have three answers. One is anecdotal. One is one of the early pictures of Srila Prabhupada, one of the many, was Prabhupada seated in the courtyard of 22nd Avenue. So you've been to 22nd Avenue?
Yes.
So there's the storefront, then there's that little courtyard behind the storefront, and then you enter and there's apartments that go upstairs, and Prabhupada's room was in the apartments in the back area. Yes? So he was seated in the courtyard and someone took a picture. And when I first saw that picture, I also thought, ooh, Prabhupada's in an intense mood. Because he looked, you know, intense, and very, very serious about something. So I was told this later, that someone at 22nd Avenue asked Prabhupada, you know, I thought people that are spiritual are supposed to be always happy. See this picture, you know, you don't look happy. And Prabhupada's immediate reply was, I remember that it was a moment of ecstasy. So, in other circumstances, he gave the warning, do not try to predicate the mind of the spiritual master. You know that from language, grammar. Subject, predicate. So it's also a verb, predicate. Don't try to understand the mind of the spiritual master from the face of the spiritual master. Don't try to predicate the mind. Oh, Prabhupada meant blah, blah, blah when he did or said something or other. That's predicate. Don't, it's speculate. Don't do that. That's one. Second is, I know from many experiences, like what you just described, there are times when I'm processing something, like something very grave and serious. It's service related. And so my external appearance may reflect that. Something that I'm very, you know, it's troublesome, and then I'm passing somebody and they go, oh. But it has nothing to do with the person, it's just internally I'm processing something. I'm not aware of what my face looks like, I'm aware of what my thoughts are contemplating. But the other person is responding to, ooh, he didn't say hello, or he's, you know, looked unhappy, and then later I found, you know, 6 months later, something. Were you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? So that's, you know, don't, with a senior devotee, don't base, you know, this, the interaction time that you have with them with their countenance. Because it may, the index, it may be indexing something else besides their regard for you or something like that. And the third is back to the response I gave to Himanshu, and that is what you should do in association with senior devotees is same thing. Just, you know, act in a way that's going to be pleasing to Krishna. You try to serve them nicely and be happy in trying to serve them nicely. As an example, I'll call on Jai Jagannath's behavior. A number of times in the past when we had, you know, Sunila Madhava here as the president, as soon as I came, he would regularly come and just give me a nice report. And he specifically said, I know that as GBC person, you always have to deal with heavy-duty stuff. And you don't get to hear all the nice things. So I come just to give you, here's some nice things that are going on. And, you know, and my mind might have been somewhere else because of the something else that was going on. But, you know, it's just, so be in that mood with older devotees, senior devotees. Just like, you know, that period of time we had these GBC members and that meeting, because some of them weren't GBC members, but assisting in GBC work. And it makes their service lighter to be in the association to devotees that are just happy in Krishna consciousness and, you know, do that as a service to help them in their service. And, you know, regardless of what the index says. You follow?
Yes.
So that's what to do.
It gives a lot of more understanding now.
Yeah, yeah.
Very helpful.
And, you know, in your heart, just as Jai Jagannath spoke, and, you know, when Bhadri was, the announcements, thank you, you know, for you have an impossible task. And Bhadri said, no, it's not impossible, just very taxing at times. But, you know, appreciating that, we appreciate the service that you do. It was a genuine expression. And then in different ways like that. So be a source of levity and light and whatever may be going on. And it makes all of the sacrifice worth it so that the devotees can be happy, you know. Happier devotees, more devotees to carry some weight of responsibility. Happier devotees, more devotees. Fantastic. Be happy. That's the best service. Be happy. And you're a happy devotee, so you make me happy. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.